much understanding, and that's what God is dawning upon us. He said, I'm not just putting a word in your mouth, I'm making you a word. I'm not just giving you a message, I'm making you a message. I'm personalizing my message. You're becoming a letter from me. And the Lord said, be careful who you have this message around. I mean, because it's life changing, it's life effective, it's effectual. And reverence what you got, appreciate what you got. That's what I hear what he's saying, is because it's an advancing, it's a going forth like you've never seen before. I'm breaking it open. You're more than just sons. You are an inspirational word sent forth in the earth to enlighten the hearts and the minds of men, to affect the people around you. That's what I'm hearing tonight. That's what I'm hearing the voice of God speak. There's a heaviness of glory that's waiting over us as we enter into the new year. There's a weight of glory. It's not a weight of glory of something that brings pressure, but it's something that breaks pressure. It's a different type of weight. It's a different type of responsibility. It's a different type of embracing. It's different than what you've seen before. That's what I'm hearing in the spirit. Meditate, Boshi on the Roshi. Ede Boshi on the Roshi. These conversations are going further than you thought they would go, because they're just not kingdom conversations. They're heavenly conversations. They become a boardroom, a microcosm bit for you to move out and to accomplish and to conquer. And just by being here, you're accomplishing. You're accomplishing my will. You're becoming my will, without even knowing it. It's not through your efforts. It's through much dramatization. It's through much effort of me, on my behalf, of what I'm doing through you. And take much joy in what I give you. Take much joy in what I give you. I just want you to reach up and attain. I want you to do more reaching up than you do reaching out. Because in your reaching up, you will reach out. Because the people are not down there, they're up there. You shall effect change. You shall effect change. You shall bring about change. Rabbah Katanish. Erebuku. And where some have entertained angels unaware, some don't know it, but they have entertained you unaware, not knowing that your angels are blue. Sons of the mighty, the people of the kingdom. Go forth and conquer. Go forth and conquer. Don't conquer as a man conquer. Conquer love. Conquer joy. Conquer peace. Yes. Conquer knowledge and wisdom.
Yes.
And understanding.
Yes.
Conquer kindness. Conquer long-suffering and gentleness. And yet knowing to restrain. Knowing when to speak and when not to speak. Knowing when to show your armor of light and knowing when not to. brought you these three, you three, I brought you together for a reason. And that is that you might touch the lives of others. God said you're a lion. And your mane has just begun to grow. The strength and the roar of your voice shakes many things. The Lord said, get ready to roar. Get ready to cry out. With the strength of confidence. You're a lion that eats grass and not meat. For your desire is not the blood and the life of others, but it's in the strength of your character. It's in the grass is your food, because you're yet, even though you're as strong as you are, you're a lion of peace. You conquer through light and not darkness. It's a lion not to be afraid of, but one to respect and honor. For as the lion is the king of the jungle, saith the Lord, I've made you king. Out of the much jungle that seems to be around you, out of the jungle of your job and out of the jungle of your family, I made you king. I made you a powerful and respectful voice that some even tremble when they see you coming. God saying in the spirit, you're in my nest. And the Lord said, what a year for you. What a year for you. Because yet your mouth is wide open for more, for more, for more. As a young bird calls out unto its mother. And the Lord says, so your heart says unto me, feed me, feed me, feed me. Feed me, Lord, that I may have thy strength and thy wisdom. As your eyes go to and fro throughout the earth, and as you look at the many things that have been brought before you, and your cry is for more understanding. With this knowledge, How do I rightly divide? You've thrown almost everything at me this year. My plate is so full. So much to look at. So much to go through. So much to learn. Oh, that I may sit in thy tabernacle and learn from thee. And at thy feet, God, that I may become thine eternal student. Yet know your voice from the so many voices that are out there that are trying to understand who and what you are. To you, God said, be still and know that I am God. Well, even in the midst of all of these voices and all of this knowledge and all of this wisdom, saith the Lord thy God, there remaineth yet some things that cannot be divided. And that is my love. It is my joy. It is my peace. Be still, saith the Lord thy God, and know that thou hast an eternity with me to learn from me and know from me. And I have opened up your heart, and I shall fill it with understanding. Not just with wisdom, not just with knowledge. Not just with scriptures and voices, saith the Lord thy God, I shall fill it with understanding. Thou art still yet a young bird, and thy wings are still yet tender. Yes, there are things that must change, but now be still. Learn as much as you can learn. Grow as much as you can grow. For soon a strong wind will come. And it will push you off the branch. And you shall fly. And there shall be many that fly and flock after you. Because they shall hear the strength of God in your voice. And understanding shall run from your mouth as milk. And it shall make strong them who stand under you and drink from that milk. Also within your left hand and in your right are bread and cheese. The cheese shall be for the protein. The bread for their substance. You shall give a word and you shall have much to say. And many people to guide. There shall be much and many things to challenge you. But what must not challenge you? It's the grace in which I bestow on each and every one of you. The grace to learn of me. My unmerited favor. I called you not because you were young. I called you not because you were black. Neither did I regard your past or your present. I didn't look at your sins. Neither did I regard your failings. I didn't stop, saith the Lord thy God, to wonder whether you had a degree or not, saith the Lord. Or whether you was ready or not, saith the Lord. I called because I'm God. And because I am no respecter of persons, for the shepherds that slept that night, they came to the manger. even as the wise men. But they were not considered wise. So I call you. If I gave you all these things without all of those respected things that I could have took into position, I've given you things that leaders wish they knew. And some beg for understanding. There are those who are praying right now for me to give them wisdom and knowledge in the Word. A place where they can grow. And they'll never grow. Neither will I answer their prayers. For I keep my own counsel. And I'll share it with you. I'll decide to share it. So the Lord said, I pull back the chambers of the king's most glorious room. And I bring you into the secret chambers of my thoughts. Not that you may hold something on someone else, said the Lord. That there may be salt and light amongst much darkness. Ha! Robo Shikan! Aramote Revolution! Hiya Nobo Korra!
That I've felt in my spirit. Have been things that I've been feeling. It was a voice that was so dim, but I can feel that voice being magnified tonight. It's that God is lifting us. God is unveiling things. Things we've been called for. Before the foundations of the earth, we've been called for these things. It is not a coincidence that we are at this table at this time. It's not a coincidence that we were drawn to one another. This is not a mere coincidence. But a divine plan, divine intervention. The Lord has great things, things that we can't even fathom or conceive. He has these things for us, and all we have to do is flow. Flow in the Spirit. Wash in the Spirit. Be mindful of who we are. Even on some dark journeys, the only thing we have to do is be aware of who we are. You can feel the presence of the Lord tugging and pulling me, letting me know specifically there are some things that I'm going to have to do. Some problems that I'm observing that I'm going to have to put myself in order to deliver. I can feel His presence in this room.
Y'all can just continue to talk, man. We'll let the music stop.
Words that were said had such substance. A word, a message. Is to stand still and know that I am God. It's a word that I needed. A word that quickened my spirit, just to stand still and know that I am God.
Feel God, man, also, man. I try to keep my mouth closed, man, but the Spirit is just definitely, it's pushing me to definitely to say this. My heart beating is going at least 100 miles per hour, I feel like it, man. The move of God and the presence of God is in this place. God is saying that He is an artistic God. Whatever that He draws out, paints, God. It's a piece of art. It's a masterpiece. He knows us. He sees us. The calling that we have over our lives, man. Are just not ordinary calls. They are calls from the Most High. God just wants us to step forth, man. We have given ourselves to Him, our life. Now He is using us. He is using us. God. It's so powerful, man. I see it, man. Everything happened, man, for a reason. Everything happened for a purpose. And we will see things, God, that we never thought we'd see. We'll go places that we had never thought we'd go. Anywhere that he takes us. You just want to know that, to tell each and one of us that he is there, not to be afraid. Know who his father is. To know that I am. He said, I see that y'all reading me, man. We haven't seen nothing yet. He says more than a letter, man. That word is more than a letter. You haven't seen me move. You haven't seen me move.
The power of the most holy place is this, is that we run not after the knowledge, neither the wisdom or the understanding. We run after him.
Yes.
That's what makes the knowledge and the wisdom and the understanding so powerful. And running after him becomes so powerful because attaining him is us. It's really glory running after glory. It's faith running after faith. It's divinity running after divinity. We are only trying to regroup with who we are. That's what God is trying to say to us.
Yes, Lord.
Imagine, this is what I hear the Spirit say. Imagine someone taking a glass of water and running to the ocean. Running, taking that water that was once in the ocean and taking it back to the ocean. And God said, that's what I'm doing. I'm emptying you. You're the glass. I'm emptying the water, which is really me, back out into the ocean. It's only becoming a part of what it originally was to begin with. Before it went through all the filtering. Retaining back its original state. That's what we don't understand a lot of times. Because we have been filtered through time. And through the womb of our mother. And through everything that has written upon us and our history and everything else, that we failed to see who we originally are to begin with.
Mm.
is the same thing.
Many times, this world has a way of making us feel as if we're unworthy. It has a way of making us feel like we don't deserve. But we have to become aware of who we are. We have to become aware the essence of our substance, that He's in us. We have to realize who we are. We are more than black men. Oh, we are more than just sons and daughters of our parents. We are more than this. We have to strip away the conditioning, what we've been taught to believe, because those conditions always beget limitations. There is no limit to a son of God. You can do, you can accomplish, you can be whatever it is He calls you to be. I hear the Spirit saying that to each and every one of us, that there is no limitation. There's going to be some things that God is going to show us in a vision. And know that it is possible. Know that with God, all things are. All things are attainable. Don't look at any vision that you see through the filter of the world, but see it through the openness of the heavens. God has given us dominion. Each and every place that our feet touches, He has given us dominion. And He's given us dominion in a sense that we conquer it with our love. We conquer it with our compassion. Because in order to be a true leader, one must be willing to serve. Christ led us by His service. He led us by His love. This is some of the same things that He wants us to do. He wants us to lead by our service. If you truly love a folk, you must be willing to serve them. If you truly love a people, you must be willing to serve them. We are to conquer with our love. We are to submit ourselves completely to Christ Jesus. He is the eternal God. That's what the Scripture tells us, to present our bodies a living sacrifice. This is merely a physical temple in order to manifest a spiritual principle. When will we become the living epistles? When will we display God in everything that we do? The way that we talk, the way that we walk, the way that we converse, the way that we interact with people. When will we become living epistles? When will His glory be manifested through every encounter? When will people be able to look at you and they're able to see God? This is not merely a vessel to do what to do with whatever you please. This temple has a purpose. And its purpose is to display God in the earth. That's what its purpose is. The life of God is in us. The life of God is in us. The resources that we all look for, the substance that we all wish or we all look for, we have. It's not something that you have to go looking for externally, but it's something that you have to discover internally. He's within us. He moves within us. He breathes within us. He gave us divinity. His entire plan from the beginning was to dwell with us. He's dwelling. And until we realize that he inhabits us, he dwells within us. Once we become mindful of this, our course of action will always be in alignment. Must become living epistles.
I look at all the things, man, that my life that I've been through, man. I glimpse back at it. I glimpse back in the past. I seen where I was, who I was becoming. And I thank God so much, man, for saving me, really saving me. I listened to this song, man. Did not know the whole time that the seed was in me. Everything that we have, man, it's in us. There's nothing in the book that you can read that can contain the seed that sends us.
My God.
And now I see it, God. God, we thank you, God. We worship you, God. For saving us, God. Thank you. or something. From where you started at and where you are now.
Come on.
It's like you look at it before and you look at it after. And it's so powerful, man. I see a big difference. Yes. I see a big difference, God. I see a big difference. Everything is inside of us, man. Everything is inside of us, man. Everything is inside of us, man.
Oh, my God.
It's powerful.
It's powerful. That's why I love this song. Because I don't hear Whitney, I hear all of humanity. I see a humanity that don't know its own strength.
Come on.
It's the song of the earth, man. So the greatest message that could ever be preached, the greatest thing that ever could be said, God always creates in a song. That's why when they left Egypt, they sung the song of Moses. Because words by itself cannot express the heart unless it catches the rhythm and the melody of the spirit of the moment. So in the book of Revelation, they sing the song of the Lamb. As calamity is being broken. That's amazing.
That's powerful.
See, there's a lot of people that if they could go back, they would do things differently. If they only knew their own strength, but didn't know that capability was in them. Psalms 82 says, I made them gods, but they die like men. You gods, but you die like me.
That's powerful.
It's a lot in there.
That's powerful.
It's a lot around in this table, man. I keep hearing the word resurrection. See that word being spoken over us in this room. And the only thought that came to my mind was when they went to the tomb and there were two angels there. And the testimony was, he is not here, he is arisen. They said, why look for the living amongst the dead? Well, the Spirit is telling me to say it again. Why look for the living amongst the dead? He is not here. He has arisen. There's some places that you're not there anymore.
Oh my God.
You've come out of that place. You've arisen. You've stood up again. You might have failed, but now you're standing. And when they came to look for you, they came to look and see if you were in a fallen state. It's more than just people. I see the spirits of your thoughts going to look to you for you. There's some part of you that thought you were going to still be dead or still laying in that place, but you decided to stand up again. Something has brought you up again. It's caused you to stand again, so the angels, the real angelos, the real message, the real word from heaven is telling the other you, the other parts of you, not just people, just the other parts of you, that you're not there no more. You're living. You're no longer in the same position or the same state of mind, the same status. You have arisen. You no longer even have a dead disposition or destiny. And because you have arisen and resurrected, I shall cause other things to resurrect and live. There are ideas in you that are being resurrected again. And those things shall live. That's why. What my? I'm finished with it. Up until this point, we've been eating bread. Tonight, we drink wine. The life-giving spirit of his joy. Funny of something I was reading. John 17:3, he says, and this is life eternal. So he's about to give a definition. Jesus in his prayer is about to give us a definition of life eonios, life without age. or life that endures through any age. Because that's what eternal is that the frameworks of time may change, but my life is sustained, and therefore it becomes eternal life, or life ionios, life that goes on through any frame of age that change. Is what's in me is changeless. I have an age-abiding life. Life that goes on. And what gives me this Ionius life? What gives me this age-enduring life? Or a life that becomes an island, no matter what frame or age or mind the world may be in? What makes it transcend or break through any age? He says, this is life, Ionios or Arnion, that they may know thee, the only true God. Knowing God, and not just any God, the only true God. The knowledge attained of the true God will make life ageless. Says, I have manifest thy name unto men, which thou gavest me out of the world. And thine they were, and thou, or you, gavest me them. And they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast givest me are of thee. For I have given them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them. Put yourself in that picture. And have known surely that I am come out of thee, and they have believed. I believe we've done that tonight. And thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. For they are thine, and all mine are thine, and all thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And what I like about this is while he's praying there, he transcends time. And he says, in the next verse, he says, and now I am no more in the world. I'm no longer even in the cosmos. But these are in the world, and I am coming to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. That's his prayer, that we might be one. That's his prayer. Now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy filled in themselves, fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world.
I'm loving his presence, man. I really am, man.
There's a lot in there.
Loving his presence, man.
That's right.
Definitely. Man, I want to show you this poem, man.
I already heard.
You know, it really talks about his life. I'm just playing. You read about that, man. And that's what I'm studying in the book of St. John, man. And it's called life. Life is a substance of living. It is also the opposite of death. Could a man be conscious but not living? Mm-hmm. Inhale in and exhale out the breath. Mm-hmm. See, the word life is beyond the true meanings of life. Mm. It's only the letter until it becomes one with life. Mm. So when a woman birthed the life in due time, that child feeds off her life that gives the living life. Mm-hmm. See, life shows us who we are and who he is. Mm. We are no longer blind and deaf because we are one with his life. Mm. Life also peels the layers of onions. It shows us the truth and reveals his revelation. Life shows his nature in every moment. Every movement, life look at itself in the mirror and see its reflection. Life is never alone because there is always a presence. So becoming one with his life, you become one with Christ.
That's powerful. That's powerful. That's powerful. That's powerful.
Makes you think about that life, man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One paradox is, how do we measure against an eternal God? But when you truly look at it, the paradox is, that eternal God is within you. It's the life. That's the substance.
That's right.
That's the very essence.
That's right.
Of our being.
That's right.
It's God. Makes me think about the things that we. The things that we all look for, man. The fulfillment, joy, peace. Those things that the world cannot give. Mm. We, so many of us searching the world for. Which causes nothing but anxiety. It causes discontentment. It causes stress. Because those things that you're looking for can only be extracted from the source. It can only be extracted from the essence, from the very life of you. See, life goes beyond a heartbeat. Life goes beyond blood flowing through your veins. Life goes beyond the contractions of the lungs that enable you to breathe.
Come on.
Life extends beyond this. Life extends beyond a physical frame. Life extends beyond the grave. Life is an extension of God. Therefore, it's everlasting. It cannot cease. So therefore, before we even took on human flesh, life was. And after the flesh decays, life still is. And that life is the true light. Light is the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He is the life. He is the Zoe. The incorruptible life. The one that does not decay. Ever truly understand that that's the life that we have.
That's right. That's the life we have.
That's the life we have. Yeah. That's the life we have.
It's powerful.
Man, life goes so deep, man. Like you were saying, man. Because in my time of writing this poem, only thing that I could see is God, man. You feel me? It's like you said, it's beyond that heartbeat, it's beyond that blood, man. You know, it's beyond the age. You know, I believe that life really truly starts when you have one with Christ. He gives you that life. You know, it's more than, you know, the word, the letter of life, man. It's so deep, man. It's so deep. You know, the eternal life, man. That true life. The real meaning of life, man. And when I look at it even more deeper, man, beyond the breath of life He given all of us, you know. People that we walk amongst, you know. I look at it more deeper than that, man. But that life that He wants us all to have with Him, that true life, man. You feel what I'm saying?
I feel you, brother.
It's not His life and my life, but it's with Him, man. I have that same life that God has. I see that same sight that He sees. I move with God. True nature of God, man. That true life, man. That's life. Eternal life. That's life. That's life, man. That's life, man. And that's, you know, that was one of, so powerful. That's when I first started the poem. I said, could a man still be conscious but not living?
Come on here now. That's powerful. That's powerful. That's powerful.
That's powerful, man.
That's it, man.
That's so powerful.
That's it, man.
What that makes me think about, man, is the born again principle.
That's it.
It makes me think about the born again principle. It's because through the second birth, what is acquired is the true identity being acquired. The true identity is being seen. You know, and one can truly see his original face. He stands at the threshold of awakening. It becomes a point of awakening. It becomes a point of becoming mindful of who you are. So therefore,
that's right.
And some things that's being opened up tonight is that the second birth actually gives you insight, or it gives you a glimpse, or it allows you to begin to see your eternal self. It begins to allow you to see the very essence of yourself. because like we was talking about earlier, is that there are so many things that we are told. There become so many conditions. There becomes so many things that has been hurled at us that made us identify ourselves with this or with that or with this or with that. And the thing is, man, through that rebirth principle or that born again principle that is throughout scripture, to me, man, that symbolizes, like I said, that point of awakening.
That's it.
You know what I'm saying?
Most definitely.
That's what it symbolizes. So therefore, that goes back to the very beginning of the poem. Is that can a man be conscious but not living? Because of the second birth, you awake. And that means at the initial birth, you were still sleeping. So therefore, I feel like there was an awakening that's occurring in this room. And I feel like, man, that becomes a part of the journey with Christ. Is the awakening continues.
Yes, sir. That's powerful.
Because transformations will continue. Renewal will continue. And that was so powerful, man, what Carlos dived into earlier. Knowing the only true God makes life ageless. An eternal mind knows the true God.
That's it.
That's powerful.
That's powerful.
Knowing the true God, what it does. Knowing the true God gives you the ability to endure any circumstance.
That's right.
It gives you the ability to endure any trial, any tribulation.
That's right.
Because God's goal, God's purpose, God's mission is never to remove circumstance. But his mission is to implant or to develop or to have you awaken to the substance, to the mental stability that gives you the ability to withstand any storm.
I say.
To endure any trial. Because in him he is immutable, unmoving, unchanging. When we wake up to the true God,
jeez.
We realize that we are an extension. And we also attain.
Yes.
Being immutable.
Come on, y'all.
I hear the Spirit saying that so loud and clear because I feel like in our journey, in the different ministries and in the different things that God is going to that God is going to accomplish with our individual voices, the thing that's going to happen is there are going to be some storms.
That's it.
There are going to be some dark times. There are going to be some trials. There are going to be some tribulations.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to understand the force that we have within us. We have the eternal God. We have the very substance that caused death to die. So therefore, death itself does not have any bound, any reign, any place in our lives. So therefore, anything else falls into that same category. It shall not stop us.
Come on, man.
Do we know our own strength?
That's powerful. Who know your own strength? It do come back to that, don't it? It do come back to that. Do you know your own strength?
That's so powerful. so powerful.
Made another Young's trip.
That's so powerful, man.
See, soon we're going to be able to move and speak to the world as Jesus did when he says, I come not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through me might be saved. When we are sons of light and sent forth into the world, we realize that we are not here to condemn the world, but that through the world, through us, might have salvation.
That's it.
Do you know your own strength?
Come on.
Because it's not so much about our salvation as much as it is the salvation of others.
That's it.
And it's not trying to get them saved as much as it is trying to be a path by which they may obtain and come through us. As they come through Christ, through us laying our lives down, they're able through that path come into their own salvation by which they can lay down their lives and someone else.
I really have to say this, is that it allows you to see how God measures and how God balances things.
Come on, man.
Is how one son says that through me the world might be saved. One son was able to save the world. Now, when you really look at that in another context, man, when it talks about the story when God was going to send his angels to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, I believe the scripture said that they could find if they would be able to find five righteous, that he would save the whole city. So therefore, I feel like the effectiveness and the influence that us three could have, or each individual saint could have, people don't understand the influence and the effectiveness with one person that allows God to truly shine through them. That really lays down their life. It really lays down their ego, their pride, their worldly desires, their carnality, and allows the spirit to permeate through them and reach the world.
Yes, sir.
Five was able to, would have been able to save a city.
That's right.
That shows you how the righteous weigh up against the unrighteous.
That's right.
How five, with the glory of God, would be able to permeate, awesome, be able to save.
You know the power of that is that five people could have offset all the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Because the Sodom and Gomorrah was more than just two cities. It was a multiplicity of cities in the whole vicinity. So five people could have offset cities, metropolitan areas, from the structure.
That's something, man. That's just something.
And it's always miraculous. Five in the scripture is always the number of grace, the unmerited favor of God. So maybe what he was saying in those five people is that my grace would be sufficient. If I could find, a reflection of myself, even in the midst of all of that, if grace could look at grace, if I could it would be worth saving. Even amidst all of the destruction, I wouldn't have to destroy it or destruct it or take it apart. If I could just find that there. What's miraculous thing about God is that out of all of creation, he can look at dust and see himself. And that should tell us something about the immutability of his power. We would never look at dirt and see himself. We would never look at something that's dirty or on the ground and have as much wisdom, knowledge, or intuition to be able to see that dirt living. That dirt accomplishing. That dirt being purpose. We'll never be able to look at that dust, the very particles of the ground in which a man will stand upon and declare is nothing, and be able to look at it and see a reflection of itself and say, I want to give this dust dominion. I want to give it power.
That's powerful.
What small particle, insignificant thing in life that you walk on every day and that you think is absolutely not accomplishable?
Bring it home, brother.
You can give it authority over all things. That dust will one day create computers. That dust will one day leave the earth and go to the moon. Dust it.
That's well.
That opens up a whole new dimension of thoughts, man.
Yeah.
Water with all of its power and all of its ability to cover the whole earth was, and it is as power as water could be, even the air, none of that was given dominion. Dust was, not fire, dust was given rulership. It was given the attributes of God.